Rapp and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I see.
Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With Jesse Rogers in for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. We've got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you. Here until 10 o'clock, there'll be Mike Greenberg from 10 to 12, right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Now time for Shot or No Shot, and Shay, it's brought to you by
Points Bet at Club Hawthorne, brought to you by Club Hawthorne, excuse me. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Also, while you can sign up at Club Hawthorne, you have a chance to win $12,000 cash on January 1st.
And of course, the Hawthorne app, Charlie, where you could find... Sweetheart.
Where you can find laminitis.
I love you. I want to mount you. Oh, Secretariat. I love a dead horse. Here's Shay Norling with Shot or No Shot. You think the horse is off because Cap's off, Charlie?
Best athlete ever.
Come on. We still got to trot him out there.
Take that.
Here's Shay
trot
Norling.
Trot him out there to get euthanized.
I have no problem with that. No one puts a dead horse on a pedestal like David Kaplan. Is that not true, or am I alone here?
No, it's 100% true.
Okay. Yeah. That's his favorite.
All I do is tell truths around here, whether people like it or not.
That pedestal sounds terrifying.
Well, I mean,
dead horse with it?
Yeah, well, I mean, Cap doesn't mind it. He mounts him all the time. Here's Shay Norman.
I maintain well hung is the biggest draw. The hot takes and columns are once again out there regarding the Bears' usage of Justin Fields. In the Sun-Times this morning, the headline, "For Bears, it's time to make a tank call." This, of course, means it's time to bench Justin Fields, because I read the column. There's, quote, no meaningful development left to be had in the final three games that will be relevant for next season. Shot or no shot? This is true.
Well, it is a shot that it is true that there's nothing else to prove. From my standpoint, Tommy Waddle on his side of the ledger says it's good to be able to have some time on the field to learn, and he needs the reps. I saw all I needed to see, and now you see more and more wide receivers or weapons around Fields that are injured and not available. So what's he got to prove here? What stats he has to prove? I mean, he's already the leading rusher all time, so what's the point?
I'm going no shot. I don't think there's a point in that. I'm disagreeing with you, Jay Hood. I think every snap is a learning experience. Every defense he faces is a learning experience. Every time he plays against a good team, it's a learning experience, which they have good teams left on their schedule. I don't think you just sit a guy to sit a guy. If he's injured, that's a different story. This is your starting quarterback. He's paid every 2 weeks, I think, to play quarterback.
Yes.
You play quarterback until the end of the season.
Yes. I'm knocking on wood that during that time that there will not be another injury. I mean, you already left with a hamstring. You had to come back like Willis Reed in that game.
You know what's the beautiful thing about having an injury in late December of a season that is not going into the playoffs?
What's that?
You've got months and months and months to recover. That's what football's about.
Yep.
Now, if it's career ender, you can yell at me next week or the week after. But all I know is this guy gets paid. We pay to watch him, those that go. We take our time to watch. He should be playing unless he's hurt.
It's not for us, though. It's up to the individual. So if you're Eberflus, the reason why he's out there now is because the young man wants to play. That's what we keep
hearing. Well, he should want to play. Yeah. He should. He's a competitor. And he's healthy. I don't see any point in sitting him right now. None.
But here's the hope. Here's something we haven't talked about, Shay, in this regard. Now, he's a young guy, and he feels like that he could be able to bounce back from any injury. The hope is that with these strings of losses, it does not affect him for the future, meaning that he doesn't lose any confidence, leaking any confidence, because they keep losing games. Like, it would affect me to lose every game, even though I know the bigger picture. But for a young player, you're just like, man, every time I go out there, we can't win a game.
Peyton Manning went 1-15 his rookie season. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I just hope that Fields' mettle is strong enough to realize, like, hey, man,
it gets
better tomorrow.
Yeah, it seems like it is,
yeah.
Right?
That's the hope. But that's not that way for everybody, though.
No, I hear you.
You know?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I mentioned Peyton Manning, the guy drafted right after him. Ryan Leaf couldn't handle it, right?
That's true.
So you're right. It's not, but he seems to be a guy that has that mental fortitude.
Shay.
Cairo Santos had an interesting quote about his woes on extra point attempts. He said he needed a, quote, change of scenery. So he moved the ball to the middle of the field at halftime because he was fighting a, quote, mental bug from the right hash. Shot or no shot, this is the beginning of the end for Santos.
Well, that is a shot. I thought change of scenery meant Cleveland. that's what I meant. When he said change of scenery, I meant like a different uniform, which I'm all for, by the way. That's a shot.
Yeah, I say shot as well. I mean, when you're missing on the easiest portion of what you have to do, you're walking the fence, walking that fine line right away. I mean, I think it's going to tilt the wrong way for him, especially when you're tinkering just on extra points. So, yeah, I say shot.
I agree with Shea yesterday. And, of course, Cap shot it down because it's Shea after all. But the idea that you tell the coach, like, yeah, I can't get this done from 48. What do you mean you can't get it done? Yeah. Try. How about that? Try.
That's just, if I'm a football coach, I need players on my team who, if I go, hey, I need you to do this, the answer is yes, I can do that. I'll get that done.
If you watch the game, Jesse, he gets a sprig of grass and puts it up into the air like, yeah. No, can't do it.
Can't do it.
No, it's 48.
And I apparently can't do the extra point either.
Well, not from the right hash. Got a mental bug. Got to work through some stuff.
Brother, if you got mental hurdles and you're a kicker, I can't use you. Sorry. I'm drafting one. Late. I'm going to find one.
Really, that's all, unless you're injured, that's the only kind of hurdle that a kicker has is the mental ones.
That's exactly right.
They really don't have physical ones unless they're injured.
Hey, you know, some have mental hurdles and some don't. Like our guy, Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, God.
I let that piece of garbage into my home. He did. I'm Mike North.
We talked about that the other day.
This is Sebastian Janikowski.
That man could put away his beer, too. See Janikowski. This? Oh, yeah.
You've seen it, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been out with him.
Holy
absolutely.
Cow.
Cases of it. He can put away a case of beer without even blinking. It was amazing.
See, that's what you want.
And then he kicked until he's like 45.
Well, see, that's what you want in your kicker, though, right?
Right.
Just like, you know what? Yes, I'm over here on the side. I'm drinking beer. I'm going out. I'm having fun. But still, I'll get the job done when you need me on Sundays, right?
I don't think he's any doubt in my mind. He could drink a case of beer and then go kick a 48-yarder to win a game.
See,
that's mental fortitude.
Now, you see that, Shay? They don't make them like they used to. And it was so controversial at the time. You're a young guy, but Jesse and I were looking at this, and the draft comes, and he's a first round pick. It's like, this guy's a first round pick of all the positions, this guy. Now, is Janikowski going to the Hall of Fame? Probably, maybe not.
I don't know. His longevity alone, maybe.
It's crazy, man. Right? First round pick.
And he was great, though.
Shay, in this era, if someone drafted a kicker, you'd hit the roof.
The Bengals took Evan McPherson in the fifth round. People's heads spun.
Don't forget Roberto Aguayo. The Bucs traded up in the second round to draft him.
That's the one area that fantasy football matches real football. If you draft a kicker in like the first five rounds, you're ostracized. You know, you're called an idiot, whatever. Same thing in the NFL. But he was drafted in the first round. Amazing.
You believe that?
I'm just assuming that was Al Davis's decision.
Yes.
It seems like something he would do.
The old man, he was always counterculture, so not a surprise.
Yeah, he was like the Jerry Jones before Jerry Jones, kind of.
Yes.
If you even thought about drafting a kicker in the year 2022 in the first round,
oh my God,
you'd be fired before you pick up the phone in the war room.
Could you imagine that? It would take like a whole hour on First Take.
Yeah.
I mean, amazing. But that's how it was back then. It was amazing. All right, Shay, what else do we have?
I want to ask about Cubs and Sox free agency. The Cubs obviously brought in Dansby Swanson over the weekend. Mm. Meanwhile, the Sox brought in Andrew Benintendi for $75 million. They also brought back fan favorite Billy Hamilton. My question, shot or no shot? Neither team did enough.
Well, that's a shot. That's a shot. Now, okay, so, and we'll talk about this in our next hour, Jesse, because I need to talk to you about this long form.
Sure.
We don't have time here, but in this segment, I'll just say, if ownership gives you the green light and Crane Kenny goes on the flagship and says, well, I don't know what's going on. Jed was given the green light, and yet this is what you do in the offseason. I don't expect the Cubs to contend this year. I don't expect the Cubs to contend at 23. 24, I expect them to be able to be in the mix, right? But when you have that and it's wide open for everyone to see, this should be in-house, but it's reported by you and so many others that the opportunity to spend is there, mm-hmm. and this is what you do, and you a little bit short. Like Swans, I think Dansby is a good selection, but it's an opportunity for you to be able to fill some holes in that roster. They did not. 35th and Vec, that's a whole different story. That's Rick Hahn sox-splaining his way through it. Trade deadline, I'll never forgive him. He sits there and talks about how hard it was for him to try to find a deal, and he didn't do it. I don't care how hard it was. You ended up being 81-81. And so you got yourself – the new Melky Cabrera in left field now, which is great, right? And Benintendi.
He's a good player.
Okay, all right. As long as Melky. Okay? Yeah. I mean, but still, yeah. I mean, ultimately, what did you do?
Yeah.
It's about difference makers.
Yeah, I would say shot as well, because unless you're up against that CBT, call me. Call me back. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
When you get there, then we can start saying you've done enough. I'm talking big picture.
Yes.
When you're acting like Steve Cohen and the Padres and the Phillies, then you've done enough.
Yes.
And neither team is anywhere near that, you know, that tax or going past or anything else. Now, do I like Swanson? Do I like Benintendi? I do.
That's fine.
Could Bellinger reclaim it? Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, no, you can't say they've done enough to contend with the World Series other World Series contenders.
No. And we'll talk about that long form, but I just, no, the answer, and of course, this is from a fan standpoint on this side of the table. Yeah, no shot. You did not do enough. Did not do enough. And because when you have markets like San Diego and Dallas, Fort Worth, and Philadelphia, and others, even Cleveland.
Giants gave someone 350. Okay. I don't know who's right or who's wrong, but I'm just saying, on the basis of the CBT and where other teams spend, by definition, I don't feel like they've done enough.
Well,
Well,
from a Sox fan standpoint, it feels like, oh, well, we're good. We're going to be better than 81 and 81. We're on our way. So you didn't need to change anything else. You're good.
Well,
no.
I mean, they've added two players, you know, but they subtracted one in Abreu. So are you better? Are you what? I think they're counting on health and Pedro Grifol to wave a wand and things will be better. Now, 2 years ago with this roster, they were pretty good. Yep. But look, within the division is one thing. When you think of the other teams outside the division, that's a whole other thing for both the Cubs and Sox.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask about my guy in movie making, Tom Cruise. He posted a 9-minute video yesterday of behind the scenes from his new Mission Impossible, showcasing what his crew is calling the biggest stunt in cinema history. Cruise rides a motorcycle off of a cliffside, launches himself off of the motorcycle, then transitions into a base jump to the ground. He did this 6 times. Shot or no shot, Tom Cruise is the best stuntman in movie history.
Well, no, but he is crazy. What's the little guy got to prove?
Little guy.
Because he does his own stunts.
Right.
What's he got to prove?
Well, it's a tough one because I can't go through every actor that's done his own stunt. I don't even know if they've done their own stunts, right? But because of that franchise and the things they've done in it, I'm going to say shot in terms of actors doing their own stunts. Someone else might be equal to him, Shay, but not necessarily surpassed him in that category.
It's probably 1A and 1B is Tom Cruise and Jackie Chan.
There you go.
Jackie Chan, right there.
Yeah. There you go.
Keanu Reeves? Daniel Craig?
No shot. I mean, Tom Cruise held onto the side of a plane that was flying in the air. He's going to space. Daniel Craig and Keanu Reeves got to catch up.
But Jackie Chan's right there.
Jackie Chan is right there with him. But what Tom Cruise has done is nuts.
All right, I'm going to say, you convinced me. I'm going to say shot.
Christian Bale. Yelling at people.
It's quite a stunt. Get off my set!
You never dealt with actors, have you?
That's a good one. just yelling at people. Yeah, I mean, Tom got a death wish? He's got nothing to prove. He's Tom Cruise. He's one of the great actors of all time.
He's not exactly risk averse. He will take the risk. There's no doubt about it.
Crazy. All right, coming up, we'll go around the National Football League, some news and notes that you need to know, and also Albert Breer at 8:35 on Cap and Jay Hood.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and Jay Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie.
Bop, 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 bop. And listen to Cap and Jay Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and Jay Hood on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League. Jonathan Hood and Jesse Rogers with you here on Cap and J Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Still to come, Albert Breer will be with us at 8:35. We'll get his thoughts about the Bears and the NFL. But with more around the NFL, here's Shay Norling. Shay?
The best thing about the NFL is as it winds down, the news gets more frequent.
True.
It's one of the best things about this league. I want to start with, Hootie, something you brought up this morning. Sunday Night Football, Giants, Commanders. The ending had a little bit of controversy, shall we say. There was a penalty called for an illegal formation on a play where the official never made a signal to move up or informed the wide receiver he was off the line of scrimmage. And then obviously on the final play, a bear hug that was not called for pass interference in the end zone. Really just botched officiating that screwed the Commanders out of a divisional must-win game.
And screwed me out of money. DraftKings, can I get my money? Like, I had the Washington Commanders to win that ball game. McLaren, the wide receiver, asked the official over to the right, am I good? As he lines up, right? Am I good? Because that's what all wide receivers are supposed to ask. Am I in line with everyone else so I won't be called off sides? Am I good? The referee says, yes, I'm good, and throws a flag on him. Now, this is when you get the conspiracy theories about the National Football League, right? How do you screw that guy out of it? Now, I heard McLaurin afterwards, and he said, look, I don't want to get fined, but I did ask the official twice, am I good? And he said, yes. And they throw the flag. And that was a touchdown that was negated, that was called back because of that play.
Inexcusable, because that's been going on for decades. You might say, well, it's up to the player to know, but that we know that players always ask the ref, am I good? And if they respond yes or no, you usually take that as gospel. The other thing is, maybe there should be a alteration in the rules. Remember the whole Saints penalty, you know, pass interference. Then the next year, maybe there should be you get a challenge in the fourth quarter only. One challenge. Something. Because some of these egregious pass interference calls are still not being called.
Well, that's the worst. Well, I don't know what pass interference is in the National Football League. That's why I'm a college football fan.
We haven't known that for years.
In college, I know what it is. You tell me, Shay. Tell me I'm like, I know what the calls are. I know what roughing the passer is. I know what... But some of the calls, the usual calls we see in the National Football League, it's called to letter the law on Saturdays. It is.
It does feel like they do better with the subjective stuff in college than they do in the NFL.
It's hard to tell what I'm watching from Sunday to Sunday because they keep moving the goalposts, so to speak, on all of it.
Right.
So
one fourth quarter challenge. That's my latest hot take.
Yep. 4:15 this morning. All right, Shay, what else do you have?
Cowboys-Eagles was the game of the weekend. It was the game of the weekend. It opened at -1. I believe the Cowboys' latest look are 5.5-point favorites because Jalen Hurts is not going to play. The Eagles are all but telling us he won't play with a sprained throwing shoulder. The Bears broke the Eagles is what I'm taking out of this.
That's how you do it.
The Eagles not playing Hurts, kind of resting him here with no need because the division's won. It's actually savvy by Philly to get fully healthy before they take on the Saints because next week when they play the Saints, they can beat them and improve their own draft pick.
Yes, it's too bad because I get gypped out of a good Philadelphia Cowboys game on Christmas Eve, but that's okay. Like, if Hurts is not 100% or they feel like he should set, that's fine. Philly's got to do what's best for them, but I really was looking forward to that game.
Oh, I think everybody was, but I'm with you what you just said. They earned the right to sit him and take it easy with the way they played through the first 13, 14 weeks. So kudos to them. They'll get him healthy, and then they'll probably win the next week against lesser competition, but they've earned that right.
It's how you do it, Jesse. You lose the game and knock one of their guys out. It's how the Bears do it.
I had a good run with Jalen Hurts in fantasy this year, and it looks like my playoff run is now over.
Oh, well, who's your backup?
I'm in two quarterbacks. I have Trevor Lawrence.
Just waiver wire a little Gardner Minshew, some Minshew mania down in Dallas.
They'll put some numbers up for you. Ride that mustache in that Winnebago. Absolutely.
They'll probably score some points, but they'll probably lose.
No question about it. All right, what else do we have?
Packers took care of business last night. They beat the Rams, officially eliminating the Rams from the playoffs and keeping the Packers in the hunt. Rodgers says, quote, the playoff push is looking up. If they beat the Lions in the final game, they actually do have a shot. Could the Packers really make the playoffs?
No, but I like the honesty of Aaron Rodgers after the game. He's talking to Lisa Salters, and he knows the schedule right up here, around the old noggin. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what's going on with the schedule and feels. He saw it as a matter of factly about it, too, when he speaks. Like, beat the Rams. You know, we got some ways to go offensively, and we got this game. And he says, one game at a time, we're going to get it done. Even though he's a great player, I don't bet against Aaron I bet against the Packers.
Yeah, they're not very good. I mean, the Rams stink, so you can't measure yourself against them. I mean, look, it feels like the Rams mailed it in from day one after winning the Super Bowl, so I don't take much out of that win last night.
So it's the Dolphins, at the Dolphins, the Vikings, and the Lions for the Green Bay
Packers.
They're
not beating the Dolphins in Miami. No way.
At Dolphins this late in the season. I mean, Jesse, you talked about in the first hour the conditions. Like, Miami weaponizes their conditions as much as any cold weather team does.
Yeah, but this time of year, it'll be normal conditions. It's not like it's humid and stuff. The bottom line is Miami is a better team than Green Bay.
And Mike McDaniel's a genius. Did you know this? He's a genius. He's
a young genius. He kind of acts like it and looks like it, but I don't know if he is.
I'm going to give you 8 seconds of genius. You tell me if this makes sense to you. You ready? Mm-hmm. Mike McDaniel.
You can hide in results. You can get disillusioned in results. You can be losing games and getting better. You could be winning games and getting worse.
Judge the process. That's what they say.
You like that?
Judge the process.
That's what he's talking about there.
Yep.
So, Shay, I would say that I don't expect the Packers to run the table here. They need some help. I'm not sure if they can help themselves. Shay.
All right, a couple of arrests. One active player, one former player. J.C. Jackson, Chargers cornerback. He was a free agent signee from New England this past offseason. Chargers paid big money for him. He was supposedly one of the premier cornerbacks in the league. Turned out he's not good. Now he's been arrested among what's being called a family issue. Does this become just basically the worst free agent signing ever?
I kind of think so.
Ever's a long time.
Yes, this year.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that.
I would say this year because you had so much expectations for him, and then he gets himself into this issue, Jesse, so that's not a good thing.
5 years, $82.5 million. They're just gonna have to release him. I mean, they're gonna have to eat all of that money. Basically, he stinks and now he's in jail.
Okay, there's one other that you gotta mention.
Willie McGinnis did something very odd. Former Patriot. So a couple former Patriots got arrested over the weekend. Rough weekend for the Patriots. Man. Really, Willie McGinnis got arrested. He just kind of walked up to a guy and hit him with a bottle.
Okay,
I saw that video. He's in big trouble.
Now, Willie McGinnis, from all accounts, a really nice guy. We see him on the NFL Network, does a really great job. And then this whole thing, I don't know what was said, but Willie McGinnis beat the hell out of a man in that L.A. Hotspot. Now, I want you to look at this video. Jesse, call that video back up again, because there's a part of this video that is troublesome. Yes, he was punching the guy. Yes, he hit him with a bottle. You know the problem with this video?
What?
As McGinnis is going after this guy, you know what happens? He loses his pants.
Oh, I didn't think I saw that part.
Yeah, yes, if you're going to fight somebody, have a good belt. Have a good belt on. I mean, you saw this. Did you not see this, Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen it, but like you gotta keep those pants on if you're in a fight. That's like step one.
I mean, so if you go back and watch it again, and of course TMZ was first to have it.
Yes, they were.
TMZ.com, you can see this for yourself. Willie McGinnis getting this fight, lefts and rights, hitting the guy with a bottle, but his pants fall down. You can't fight and then have your pants go down.
Let me see it. Yeah, you're right. I see it right now.
That's so you got... funny. Hey, if you're going to jack somebody up, man, make sure you do it with style, with your pants on.
See, that video, you can't declare self-defense or anything.
No.
That's the problem with this video if you're Willie McGinnis.
You could plead insanity.
I guess so.
What?
Well, something must have happened well before, right? Because he just walked up to him and pretty much attacked him.
Just waylays on this guy.
Yeah.
So, again, you can watch that video on TMZ.com as Willie McGinnis, NFL analyst whose pants are falling down in this fracas. Yeah, you gotta have a good belt on. You can't whoop someone's ass and then have your ass showing.
Right.
All right, Jay.
All right, things got a little contentious in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers locker room after the game on Sunday. Giovanni Bernard mistimed what was a fake punt. The ball hit him in the helmet. It was kind of the play that turned the game and allowed the Bengals to really come back and take control. He was asked about this post game. It did not go well.
See, I talked to this week.
You were injured all year.
What have you done for us to talk to you about all year? I talked to you Tuesday. Just talk. Don't say you're not talking because I didn't talk to you all year.
You were also injured most of the season,
too. Hold on. Just relax. Can I
go to my family that I have outside? And
you
all
can.
Of a sudden now?
Just don't say we didn't talk to you all year.
We just wanted to ask for your perspective on what happened there.
You're involved in one of the biggest plays of the game.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim.
I appreciate your time. We do.
We won't hold you.
We would have talked to you in the season, but okay, also you were injured.
Just tell us what occurred on the punt.
Miscommunication, that's all it was on my part. I take complete fault for that.
Was it a fake?
I don't know. It was complete fault. My fault. That's it.
Is this something the team hasn't practiced?
It's all me. All of me. That's something I did wrong, and that's all.
So you were
It was all
aware?
On me. Yep. Number 25 out there, that was me. I was the one that did it.
But were you aware it was just a fake?
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about reporters ganging up on a guy.
Now, let me ask reporter Jesse.
Yeah.
What do you think of that approach of that of those reporters going at Bernard like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was a little weird. Like, I need to know more the context a little bit more. It sounded strange for sure.
You haven't talked to us all year.
Yeah, I mean, you've been hurt. You know, just ask the question. I don't know. It was weird. It was definitely weird. I don't quite understand it. So,
would you go after? I need
a little bit more context.
Shea would do it, but I mean, would you go after to an athlete
I'd
like that?
Never be in a locker room in the first place.
Yes, you would. We're going to get you there.
Never been in a press box.
Shea will be in there.
There's no question.
Yeah, for asking autographs.
Trying to get Scoobles autograph.
Of course, you'll be there to get autographs.
In the DM. Yeah, right. I'm bringing all my baseball cards.
Yes. God forbid, by the way, Shea Norling, that you go after athletes and not see them face to face. God forbid, this guy sucks. He's the worst. I'm not going to the locker room, sir. May I have your autograph? I need this for the NFT. Please help me. No, you got to go see some people.
I've done it.
We'll get you there.
It's not pleasant.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not.
It's not pleasant.
Oh, you got stories. I got stories.
Yeah. Jason Hayward didn't like me for a long time.
Yep. Can you blame him?
No, I can't blame him. Anybody that doesn't like me, I can't blame
Jason,
at all.
Jason, why did you talk? You were injured all year.
Yeah.
Albert Breer with the latest on the Bears and the NFL. Next on Cap and Jay Hood.
This is Cap and Jay Hood. Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Cap or hoodie? I would go with... Let's go with hoodie tonight. All right. How about that? We'll go with hoodie tonight.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's home for sports.
What Bert is it?
Every Tuesday at 8:35, we get a chance to talk to Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com. Fresh off a nice, cold fiddle beer, he joins us here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
Fiddlehead is actually the name of the beer there, Hoodie. And, you'd be surprised at the amount of breweries. I guess it makes sense, but you'd be surprised at the number of great breweries in Vermont, and that's one of them.
How many last night? Just the one on camera?
I had two. I don't know. The first one was a beer called Cloud Candy. I had that with dinner, and then the 12-ounce with you guys at halftime.
It's just the best, man. We love the. You know, your halftime show is way more entertaining than Berman on Monday Night Football.
Thank you. Thank you.
Way
thank
more entertaining. We were talking.
We need to get a sponsor. I need to make some money off of this. You know.
Yeah, Fiddlehead Beer. Nice little logo right there in the right corner. I'd love to see it.
Yeah. Hopefully they're listening to us up in Vermont.
We were talking about the Bears and Bills as far as what the weather is going to be like. Now, of course, we just saw the Bills and that. That snowstorm there, but it's going to be zero wind chill, I think, -9. What's the coldest game that you attended as a fan or as a media member?
I remember that couple of years that the Vikings were outside. I think it was actually Brett Favre's last game. And that was against the Bears too, wasn't it? It was the defensive end from Northwestern. Wooten, was that his name?
Corey Wooten.
Mm-hmm. Corey Wooten, yeah, from Northwestern. And I think he was the one who delivered the hit on Favre that basically ended Favre's career, right? Is that right?
I believe so.
And that was a Monday night in Minnesota. And that actually wouldn't have even been when they were building the stadium. That was after the dome collapsed in Minnesota, right? And they had to play out. So they used the University of Minnesota stadium because the dome like popped in Minnesota. And so, I can remember that one. And I had to be outside basically for like 3 or 4 hours straight in the afternoon leading up to that Monday night game. And that one, as far as games I've covered – That one was pretty freezing. I wasn't there for the Freezer Bowl when they were out, when Minnesota was outside. I feel like it's almost underrated how cold it is there. Mm-hmm. Like, I've covered a lot of games in Green Bay. Minnesota, I think Minneapolis is actually colder than Green Bay. Yeah, I mean, you guys are from that region.
Yeah, I believe it.
Closer to Winnipeg. That's probably why I'm from Canada. That's why it was so cold.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think we don't pay as much attention to Minnesota for obvious reasons because they're inside, you know. Those couple of years, like that time when they were playing outdoors, I can remember covering games at that stadium in December and January where it was just, you might as well have been in Canada.
Albert, it's like a daily thing here, weekly thing here, trying to get more weapons for Justin Fields. So my big 3 a.m. idea today, and I'm not the only one, is, the Arizona Cardinals are a mess. Maybe they want to move on from DeAndre Hopkins and the Bears could get him. Here's my question, whether it's a right move or wrong move. What would it take to get Hopkins? How far down the round draft pick rounds would the Bears, how far could they go to get him? What would it take, you think, at this point in his career?
I'm looking at it now. I'm pulling up his contract now because I don't have it. I haven't looked at it in a little bit. But he's 30 years old, so obviously that depresses his value a little bit. A lot of people feel like he can't. And this has been an ongoing thing with him, but he can't really run. Right? Okay. I know it sounds funny to say that about an NFL receiver, but that's the way the NFL people talk about these guys. If you're looking for a burner, he's definitely not that. And the thing about him that's interesting is you have to be fast around him. You have to have other guys that are going to kind of keep teams from playing on top of you. And that was why, for example, when Bill O'Brien was in Houston, they drafted Will Fuller out of Notre Dame because that guy could fly, right? And you see what Arizona has tried to do around Hop. They drafted the kid out of UMass. His name is escaping me, but he could really, really fly. And then obviously they trade for Hollywood. They've tried to be really fast around him, drafted Rondale Moore. So that's the other part of it. So I think for those reasons, and I'm looking at it now, he's on the books for $20 million next year. You add the salary, you add the fact that he's sort of a specific type of receiver, and you add his age, and I don't know that you'd have to give up all that much to get him. And another piece is, of course, is who's in charge. We don't know who's going to be in charge for them next year, but I don't know. I certainly don't think you'd have to give up a first rounder to get him, and you might not even have to give up a two. So I think he's one of these guys that could be available to somebody in the offseason. Somebody could get a nice deal on him. I think that's got to be obviously such a big part of whatever the Bears do this offseason. I have the benefit of having watched Justin Fields when he had a wealth of weapons around him. And I can tell you, he looked like a much different player.
Sure.
When he had a lot of weapons around him at Ohio State. It's weird because I feel like the people listening have a much different Justin Fields experience than I had. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He barely ever ran at Ohio State.
But he was barely touched, and he had time to throw that deep ball, which he was so good at Ohio State. We've seen none of that.
I'm just telling you, for people who don't watch college football, and it's almost jarring to watch him play this way, because. One of the reasons he wanted to go to Ohio State is he wanted to be developed for the NFL, and he felt like Ryan Day could do that. And, it's sort of the opposite, where at Ohio State, your first read's always open. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was Chris Olave, and it was Garrett Wilson, it was Jameson Williams, it was Jackson Smith and Jigba, four first-round picks. And, so we never really got to see this version of Justin, and now it's almost the reverse, where you're getting to watch this version of Justin, but the rest of him, the Justin that we saw at Ohio State, you haven't gotten a chance to see yet because the skill talent around him isn't good enough to bring that out.
It'd be great when they combine it, right? Both versions of Justin Fields.
No question about it. All right, coming up next, we'll talk about the Buffalo Bills. How were they built? Why are they this good? We'll ask Albert Breer about that. And also, what's up with the Packers? The Packers win, but can they win out? We talked to Albert Breer about that and more on Cap and J Hood.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
And Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Jesse Rogers in for Cap. I'm Jay Hood. Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback and SI.com joins us every Tuesday at 8:35 right here on Chicago's Home for Sports. Albert, so with the Bears taking on the Bills, I just want to get your thoughts on why the Bills are in this position right now. As far as the organizational structure, what stands out most about their success to you?
They're firing on all cylinders, Hoodie. I mean, it's the depth of the organization, in a lot of ways, it's like sort of like the way the Patriots were at the beginning. And I'm not saying they're going to win six Super Bowls, but it's just it's their ability to develop people, I think, is the best way to describe it. You know, and that like they have people ready when they lose people. You look at their front office, they've lost like some really good people out of their front office, you know, and Dan Morgan leaving and Joe Shane leaving. And they've got guys ready to replace them. You know, Brian Game left to become the GM and Houston came back. Terrence Gray, I think, is going to be a really good GM candidate within the next few years. Coaching staff, same thing. You know, and then you look at, like, how they've developed players in their roster. And it's, you know, Josh Allen, but it's also Deion Dawkins. It's also Gabe Davis. It's also Ed Oliver and Tre'Davious White and Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. And then on top of that, like they now have had an ability to assimilate veteran players in as well. When you look at a Stephon Diggs or a Von Miller, and I know he's hurt, but he's part of the whole equation here. You know, it's amazing because I think back to Reggie White, right? Like in 1992, and I was 12 years old then, so you know it's not like I have a great recollection of Reggie signing, but I remember a little bit of like you know it being in Sports Illustrated, him making that tour and all of that. Nobody thought of Green Bay as a destination back then. It was considered, like, wild that Reggie White went to Green Bay. Well, then eventually it became normalized that players would want to go there. 5 years ago, no one was going to Buffalo, right? Now, like, think about like that. They go get Von Miller to leave Los Angeles to go to Buffalo, you know? I just think it's a testament to the job Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have done in making that place a player, coach, executive development machine. And, you know, having the quarterback obviously helps a bunch, you know, but it's not just that. Like, it's just they've done an outstanding job developing people in general over the last 5 years.
Are they ready to win a Super Bowl? I mean, it feels like a team that has taken steps and this is the final hurdle, so to speak, to win that big one.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because, like, you feel like I think Josh is 27 now. I'm not sure if I'm right on that, but I think he's 27. So, like, theoretically, the window is going to be open, you know, for the next, you know, decade. But yeah, I mean, like, with this current group, there's obviously some pressure how close they came last year. They were in the AFC title game 2 years ago. I think they're ready, you know. And I think, you know, what you're starting to see and what you've seen over the last month or so, the team is getting used to being – able to take other teams' best shot, if that makes sense. You know, like, you know, this is where, like, New England lived forever, where Indianapolis was when they had Peyton Manning, you know, where the Rams have been the last couple of years. Like, and it's a different thing when you're everyone's big game. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, like, when people are opening the playbook to play against you, and when coaches know they can make their season by beating you. And that's who Buffalo is now, you know? And they're getting everybody's best shot. And I think you saw that when they lost to Minnesota, right? And I think since then you've seen a team, they took Detroit's best shot. Detroit's a good team. They took their best shot and outlasted them. They took New England's best shot. And it's weird how roles have been reversed there, but that's the case. You know, and then this week, you know, like they – or last week they took the Jets' best shot. This week they took the Dolphins' best shot. And so I think that that's sort of the thing, right, like where it's – that's a team evolving into a team that's – ready to compete, you know, in a championship setting, because that's what the playoffs are, you know. And if you've been, you know, sort of competing at that level all season long, you should be pretty equipped to play, you know, in a conference championship game and ultimately.
I mean, it really reminds me of the space that Kansas City lives in. They're in the same
spot. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is. Like, Kansas City's been in that spot now where, I mean, like, how many coaches, like, over the last few years have gone into like the last month of the season at like 500 and been like, I can save my job if I beat the Chiefs. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and it literally is that. You know what I mean? It's like, if you beat the Chiefs, it's like, all right, well, maybe there's some hope here with this coach or this quarterback, or maybe we want to hang on to what we're doing for another year. Like, beating a team like that can kind of give you that glimmer of hope, and that's sort of what Buffalo's done. And the reverse of it, of course, is if you're the one that has to take that shot every week, it takes, like, I mean, it's almost like being a big-time program in college. You know, it's like, what's so impressive about what, like, Nick Saban's done at Alabama? I mean, I saw an incredible, you know, stat. Like, I hadn't realized this. Did you know, like, Alabama, every team that's beaten them over the last, I think since 2010, so the last 13 years, every team that's beaten them at home over the last 13 years, the crowds rush the field.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that an amazing and it's true. If you I went and, like, actually took a few minutes, and it's not that many games, obviously, but, like, think about that pressure that's on coaches and players every week if that's the environment you're walking into, you know? And that's, like, sort of, and I think I think living in that fishbowl is huge for Buffalo, you know, like, because it's going to prepare them for what's to wait in the playoffs. If you're playing against a team that hasn't been playing in that environment, you know, through September, October, November, December, if you're playing against a team that hasn't been playing in that environment, like, when you get to January and you have been in that environment, I think it's a huge advantage. I really do.
Albert, lastly, instead of asking what's in your phone, I want to ask you a question no one's asking you about, and that is just the kind of movement you're seeing in college football with Deion Sanders going from Jackson State to Colorado. And Hugh Jackson, you know, trying to clean his image by being at Grambling as a head coach. I'm wondering if we're going to get more coaches, kind of like in the Deion mold of not having coaching experience, but getting a chance to be able to coach in college to try to make their way up to the pros. Because I'm sure if it works out in Colorado, Deion will be a hot name, will he not?
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's like, I actually think that the first example of this is Jim Harbaugh. You know, like, it's weird. It's weird to look at it that way because, you know, Harbaugh's not new on the scene. But if you think about it, like, Harbaugh sort of did the same thing Deion did, right? Like, he didn't want to climb the ladder as an assistant coach. So what did he do? He went to the University of San Diego so he could be a head coach almost right after playing, right? And then he, you know, parlayed that into the Stanford job, which ultimately got him the Niners job. You know, I could see, like, I think Eddie George is at what, like, it's a school in Tennessee. I can't remember. And forgive me for getting the name of it, but I think Tennessee State, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Like Eddie George is the head coach at Tennessee State. Like, you know, I think you can certainly see that. Like, I think Jeff Saturday, what's happening there is sort of like a good explainer to everybody about, like, that it's a tough job. And, like, you can't just come in off the street and expect to have success with no experience. But, like, the Deion path is certainly realistic. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, because that's what Jim did. Jim basically went to Stanford and went to the Niners. And, like, I don't think Jim was ever, like, this, you know, guru of quarterback play or this offensive play calling savant. People made the mistake of thinking that, but that's never what he was. Like, Jim was a program leader and, like, had an incredible ability to identify assistant coaches. And, like, if you look, like, his success, like, is almost always, like, he has really good assistant coaches around him. And, you know, I think Deion's sort of done the same thing, and I think you're going to see that at Colorado. He's surrounding himself with really good assistant coaches. And, I think you look at other sports, it's interesting. Like, you know, like, Steve Kerr didn't have a ton of experience. I think I'm right there, right? Like,
zero.
Huh?
Zero.
Had no experience. And, like, he's the best, maybe the best coach in the NBA. So I certainly think you could see these sorts of things happening in football. I don't know if you can just go, like, 0 to 50 and go straight to becoming an NFL head coach, but I think that path that Deion Sanders is carving out, that Jim Harbaugh carved out, I think that certainly could exist for guys who are high-profile players.
Albert, have a great holiday, my friend.
All right. Merry Christmas to everybody out there, and appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Albert. Take care.
Albert Breer with us from SI.com.
Harbaugh, Stanford, the Niners, Deion, Colorado, the Denver Broncos, because you know the Broncos are changing head coaches within the next couple years. So Deion doesn't do anything that he hasn't thought out. I bet he's thinking that way already.
In 2 minutes, Jesse and I are going to ask the question, what's a bigger barrier to go to the Bears game this weekend, the weather or Christmas Eve? 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.